it's good to see y'all here tonight. What's your big coat for? Y'all act like it's cold outside or something. Come on now, everybody wrapped up. Say what? Just a little nippy. Okay, all right. All righty. Well, let's get right into the word tonight. Amen. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Father, we yield tonight and we say, Holy Spirit, just show us explicitly what you would have us to do. Father, we thank you that we remember this season was when Christ was born. But Father, we know that he is born every day in our hearts. He was resurrected in our heart every day. Father, every day is Christmas as far as we're concerned. Father, we thank you that we are the reason for the season. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I just want to continue to encourage you on worship. And we're going to kind of take a little twist here. We're going to start for the next several weeks. We're going to talk about faith. And what I want you to do, how many of you saw The Karate Kid? I think it was The Karate Kid. It's been a while. But do you remember the scenes where the older gentleman, he's beginning to teach him these different things. And so he makes him paint his fence. He makes him sand his floor. Then he makes him polish his car. And he's like, and so the young kid goes, you know, I've been here for the last 2 weeks. All I've been doing is doing work. You hadn't taught me anything. I thought you were going to teach me this art, and you haven't taught me a thing. And he goes, shh. And he says, now take your stance. And everything that he was having him do, it was a motion in defense. So he was really learning the art. He just didn't realize it was. Well, we're going to show you how private worship is helping you develop in the area of faith. Amen? So we want to start out tonight. I know in the light of private worship that in speaking about private worship, especially when it comes down to fellowship with God, that we always face a certain amount of resistance when we begin to press into God. And it usually comes in one of three different places. It comes from the devil or demons. It comes from our own flesh. And sometimes it comes from just deep-rooted strongholds that are in our lives. But whatever the source of the resistance, here is the thing. You must get past it. You've got to press in. You need to get past it. Because if you want to satisfy the hunger of God in your life, you're going to have to spend time fellowshipping with him. And that's where I see the church. We're so hungry for God. We're living in an age now where it's uncertain. We don't know what's really happening, but God has all the answers. We want more from God. We want God to reveal things to us. And let me say this. It's not that God doesn't want to reveal them to us. He's revealing all that he can. Just we have to grow up and begin to expand our capacity to be able to love him even more. So whatever that resistance is, we must learn to get past it, because private worship is the only thing God gives to us that we can give back to him and it ministers to him. It's the only thing. All the rest of the blessings or the disciplines that he gives us, they minister to who? They minister to us and through us for other people. For example, when we pray in tongues, God ministers edification to who? Our human spirits through the Holy Ghost, revealing his divine plan and the mysteries of God of the gospel. Through meditation by assimilation, our capacity is increased for faith that can only be produced in our spirits. And by speaking the word in faith, we release the power of God into the trouble spots of our life. So you see, all of these disciplines, they're designed, they minister to us. But private worship is the only one that God gives you that allows you to minister back to him. What do you give someone that has everything? What do you give someone that has everything? The only thing you can give him is your love and give him praise. And the two really become synonymous. They become almost the exact same thing. You see, all these divine disciplines flow to you and through you for your benefit and for the benefit of others. There is one blessing that flows from you to God to minister to Him only, and that is your worship, especially your private worship. We're talking about, now when we say private worship, those of you that are new here, we're talking about the kind of worship where God literally changes your life as you give Him something He longs to receive from you, your intimate fellowship with Him. God, let me say it like this, God's a fool for you.
Amen.
He truly is.
He
loves you something crazy.
Amen.
I mean, he goes all out for you, man.
Amen.
He loves you. He is just in love with you.
Amen.
I mean, you ought to let that sink in. He is just turned, you know, what's that? Remember, how many of you grew up back in the 70s, and they had this commercial says, I'm cuckoo for Cuckoo Pops. Well, God's cuckoo for you.
Amen.
Okay? God is just in love with you. This level of intimacy with the Heavenly Father can only come during private worship and through the new nature that He's giving you. God is hopelessly in love with you. God created you for one thing, fellowship.
Amen.
He desires your fellowship more than you can even imagine or conceive. Therefore, you please God when you lift up your hands to heaven, you lift up your face to heaven, and you begin to minister to Him with your love in private worship. Most people's concept of worship is singing songs. Every time I talk to somebody about private worship, they tell me, well, Pastor, do I play CDs? Do I sing songs? And that's not really the kind of worship that God's looking for. He's not shortchanged by that. In other words, He's not upset about that, but God wants intimacy.
Amen.
This corporate form of worship is good, but the kind of worship that He is seeking for is when you get alone with Him just to be in His fellowship. That's all you want, is just to adore Him and worship Him and glorify Him. Now, many of you, as I say that, I can tell you one thing that's going through your mind. I just don't feel that way about God when it comes to worshiping Him. You know why? That's your flesh. That's your flesh. I'm going to get to this but I'm going to get to this next week. Many of you are losing the battle of emotions every day, and when you lose the battle of emotions, you're not going to win the battle of faith.
Amen.
Don't shout me down now. If you can't win the battle that says, I can't get up and pray this morning, how are you going to win the battle of saying, God, give me $1 million. God, pay my rent. God, find me a job. I was going to get in some other area, but I won't go there, ladies. I was going to say, find me a husband, but I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that alone. That's going to be my next message, okay? But the kind of fellowship that God wants is when you, out of the inner sanctuary of your heart, you tell Him how much you love Him and what He means to you. Private worship isn't difficult or a complicated process. I want to make sure I keep saying it. It's not complicated. It really isn't. It is simply the expression of your adoration to God. God's level of pleasure with your worship isn't determined by how much you dress up your statements with fancy words. Your flowery speech doesn't impress God. Your long words that rhyme and all that kind, He's not impressed by that. But it is determined by how much you mean what you're saying. That's what God is impressed by. How much do you mean that you love me?
Mm-hmm.
So you can get up in the morning and say, God, I love you, I love you, I love you on a tape recorder. And just wake up in the morning, just hit your tape recorder and say, God, listen to this. This is for you.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't what He's looking for. He's looking for a spontaneous, one-on-one, personal relationship.
Amen.
When you're worshiping God, you're giving Him something He absolutely longs for. You're giving Him something that Christ died for. You're giving Him something that He's waited for several ages to come to get. He waited over 4,000 years to be able to get this kind of worship. He gave his only begotten son for this kind of worship. Intimate worship between you and him. It cost him a lot. Now I wonder you, I ask you this, how many people today in the world are giving God private worship? How many of us worship him when we need something? But do you worship him when everything is going fine? Did you wake up this morning giving some praise? Did you wake up this morning when you were going, when you thought about that big problem that you faced, the doctor's report, when you faced it, did you go, oh man, what am I going to do about that? Or did you go, Father, I give you praise. By his stripes, I am healed, and I give you praise for that. You'd be better off spending your time worshiping him like that than worrying about that doctor's report. Getting on the computer and finding out, you know, what this is and what that. You'd be better off spending time worshiping God. So we want to teach you how to do that. Amen. Because that's one of what's going to help develop your faith. He absolutely longs for you spending time with him and giving him something that no other man can give him. Your worship. And I can guarantee you this, that your life will absolutely be changed in return. Your human spirit cannot remain in the presence of God for any amount of time at all without having his tangible presence manifest itself within you in such a measure that everyone around you will notice it. That's what will happen when you'll begin to worship God like that. But what will be the manifested presence of God in your life during your trials? Will your trials start coming? Do you mean you won't have any more problems? Absolutely not. But the joy of being in close fellowship with God, with your Heavenly Father, will begin to be your strength. Every challenge you're going through, you'll know I've been fellowshipping with him. He's not going to leave me in this condition. And when that happens, your trials will begin to dissolve. But you can't worship him one day and then worry about your trials the next day. You got to have a consistent life of worship. And I'm not saying you can't miss any days, but again, the power is in the consistently. Consistency, excuse me. Before God can effectively move in your life, he must separate your senses from your carnality. This is why a lot of people cannot get healed. This is why a lot of people cannot receive what God has for them, because he can't separate you from your carnality. When your carnality overpowers your senses, it constricts the anointing of God. You can receive your healing or get delivered from your sin. It's virtually impossible to do that. But on the other hand, when your senses are set aside long enough for God to flow through you, it can be easy as 1, 2, 3 for you to receive. The anointing is very important. This is why so many people can receive their healings in a Benny Hinn meeting, because the anointing there overpowers their carnality. The anointing makes a big difference. The anointing will cause you to receive healing, but guess what? When you leave the healing, when you leave the meeting, what happens? The carnality usually returns if you haven't learned to separate yourself from your carnality. Now, before I go any further, does everybody understand what I mean by carnality? It's not just sin. You move by what you see. You move by what you feel. You move by your emotions, your negative emotions, actually. That's what you move by. It's raining outside. Oh, it's going to be a bad day. Flash across the news. The economy has tanked. Oh, man. It's going to be kind of rough. So that's sensuality. You move by what you hear, feel, see, and all those things. You move by your emotions. That's what I mean by carnality. And you shouldn't, as born again children of God, you should be separated. How many of you have been born again more than 3 years? You should be separated from your carnality. Your carnality should have very little to do with your faith. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't want to rise up from time to time, but you shouldn't be wrestling with it like I've seen some of us. I don't know why I can't sit up front. I want to sit up front. How come I can't sit up front? Your carnality. Don't shout me down now. I'm going to do number teach the truth here. That's all I'm going to do. Your carnality. It's not about you. It's about who God is in you. That's who it's about. The anointing calls you to receive healing, but what happens when you leave the meeting? That's right. Usually your carnality returns. This isn't the high call or the high walk God intends for us. God wants you to worship him until your spirit is suspended in his presence. Now get this, for hours and hours at a time. See, you can't remain the same. Your carnality will leave you. Mm-hmm. You'll begin to realize those things. That is the babe in Christ. I'm not a baby any longer. Mm-hmm. How many, when you first got born again, everything you did, everything you prayed for, you got an answer for pretty fast. Then about a year or so later, that quit happening. And you wonder, God, what's going on? You know what God said to you? I took off them Pampers. I ain't changing your diaper anymore. And Christians don't like that. They think God's abandoned them. But God is a good parent. He wants to see you grow and develop. Your spirit is the part of you that God works through. So when you reach a place of divine communication with him, where your own carnality doesn't create a gap between you and everything he is, he's able to flow through your spirit freely. This is why you got to quit allowing people to upset you. Pastor, she's sitting in my seat. I always sit there. I sit right there. Why we gotta walk so far from the parking lot? Why is parking so far away? See, you think you're just being inconvenienced, but the devil is robbing you of your peace. He's robbing you of your joy. He's robbing you of your faith. He's robbing you of answered prayer. And you think it's just an inconvenience. No, you're being robbed. And you'll go home and ask God, where are you? He'll say, right where you left me when you started complaining about somebody sitting in your seat. That's where I'm at. Let the church say amen. Amen. If the church can't say amen, just say, oh me. You know what I'm saying? Oh my. Oh my. It works. Faith is a product of our spirit. Joy is a product of our spirit. The only part of you with which you can touch God is with your spirit. That's the only part of you that you can touch God with. When you elect to enter into fellowship with him through private worship, God will enter into fellowship with you. But you have to make the election. No law of physics can equate to the power of worship by faith in the face of seemingly defeat. Let me explain what I'm saying there. There's no greater faith. Sir, you have congestive heart failure. You're going to die. Father, I give you praise. I worship you that by your stripes I am healed. I shall live and declare your works in me. That's the greatest kind of faith you can have. Not, I don't know what I'm going to do, y'all. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, what you need, if you've been, many of you raise your hands about being born again more than 3 years, you need to get up, get out of your bed, get up early in the morning before everybody, your phone starts ringing, your internet starts buzzing, your Facebook starts getting up, and you need to begin to say, Father, I give you praise. I worship you and magnify you. I glorify your name. I thank you for that I have life. I thank you that I'm your child. And just walk the floor giving him praise. There's no better way that you can spend the first hour in the morning but to give him praise. Yes. Glory to God. God gets excited when your defeat seems imminent and you choose to stand up and raise your hands and say, I give you praise. Glory be to God. That gives God excited. That makes him excited about you. He gets excited about you. He goes, now that's a true son right there. That's a true daughter right there. They are wearing my sign. You're not walking around going, where's God? God, where are you? I need you, God. I've heard so many people pray that. Quit praying like that. Spend time in worship to God. He got your back. He knows what your problems are. He knows them better than you do. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how private worship has a profound effect on your faith. If you have your Bibles, go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Now I'm going to start teaching here. I was preaching that now, but now I'm going to get down on some teaching. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this. It speaks of the kind of faith that pleases God. How many want the kind of faith that pleases God? It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, where am I going to get faith from, Pastor? God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not a measure. Because if he dealt us a measure, that means we'd all have a different measure. But he's dealt us the measure of faith. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? So we all got the same amount of faith. When we got born again, we all started from ground zero. We all have the same amount of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. So there's two things that I can deduce from this statement, from these passages of scriptures. In order to have the kind of faith that pleases God, I first have to give him, or have, I got two things I got to qualify. The first one is, I first got to believe that he is. How many of you remember what when Moses says, who do I'm going to tell him that sent me? Who do I tell Pharaoh that sent me up here to talk to you? What did God say? I am that I am. What does that mean? I used to think, I am that I am. What is I am? In other words, I am the sum total of everything that exists in the universe. I am that I am. I'm everything. That you can't define me by one thing. I am that I am. I'm everything. I'm the sum total of everything in the universe. But that statement is the same thing he's saying here. You must believe that he is. He is what? That I am that I am. That I am the sum total of everything that exists. That's who I am. You got to believe that he is that. In other words, whatever the devil is throwing at you, he's got the opposite, and it'll overpower whatever he's got. He is that. He is. I said he is. The second thing is, we must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder to those that seek him diligently. Now, these are two qualifications, and they reveal basically two levels of faith. Unless you have faith that declares that God is, you can't even approach him in faith. Therefore, it is impossible for you to please him, the first level of faith. In other words, you must come to God believing that he is everything he has said that he is your God and Father, and that his word is absolutely true. Amen. Otherwise, you do not have the faith that pleases him. Let me say it in reverse. If your faith is not working for you, then you don't believe that he is. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching real goods. Your faith ain't working. You must not believe that he is. Well, yes, I do. Well, you tell me you do. You tell me you do. But what I hear you saying is, God, how come you're not blessing me? God, why did you leave me? God, where is your blessings on my life? You don't believe that he is. Mm-hmm. If you believe that he is, you'd be thanking him for what he's already done, not for what you haven't seen him do in your life. You walk in the God kind of faith by first settling in your heart that God is who he says that he is. It is God's divine law that when your faith pleases him by believing that he is, then he will be what he said he would be in your life. You see, the thing is, when I've got sickness and disease in my body, I have to believe he's my healer. But my mind and my emotions will tell me, but you're sick. But he says, but I am the healer. I am the great physician. But God, I'm sick. Whose report will you believe? See, you don't believe. Well, Father, I laid hands on the sick and they got worse. I thought you believed that he is. When I lay hands on the sick recover. Well, Elvin, I saw some people that didn't recover. That ain't my responsibility. My job is to lay hands on the sick. I'm not responsible for the recovering part. He told me to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. My job is to lay hands on the sick. My God is to believe that he is. Now, I have responsibility to release that anointing into someone. It's just not simply walking up and going, be healed. No. There's a posture there. There's a posture. I believe that when I lay hands on the sick, the sick shall recover. When I believe I lay hands, I'm believing I'm going to see a difference in this body. Now, the more I believe that, the faster it'll happen. So the thing is, I'm challenging you. How do you come to the place where you believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him? How do you get there? Because you've read your word all your life and you haven't gotten there. You've gone to every church in the neighborhood and you haven't gotten there. You've got a screensaver on your laptop and you haven't gotten there. You got a ringtone, a Christian ringtone, and you haven't gotten there. So how are you going to get there? You've got to spend time with God. You got to learn to have fellowship with God. And it's in those times he begins to tell you, here's one of your problems. You got to correct this. You see, all the time when I pray for someone, now, my prayers is not predicated on what you say. Because I believe that he is. And I believe he's greater than your confession. So I'm not going to say, well, I pray, but because you didn't believe, you didn't receive your healing. No. That's me saying, I don't believe that he is. You believe, Israel, you're right. You believe their power is greater than God's power. No, I believe he is. And there's nobody greater than him. And if I pray that way, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're going to receive your healing. So the problem is, it comes back to who? It comes back to me. I'm the one. So we got to find out, how do we get past this? Again, we've got the biggest Bibles in the world. We got all kind of concordances. We can run any kind of word search. We can do all those kinds of things. But we just can't seem to get our faith to work. Because we don't believe that he is. And we don't believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the reason we don't know that is because we don't spend time with him. How many parents are in the room? You didn't become a parent by just marrying or having a casual relationship. You had intimacy. Not getting in your business tonight, but you had intimacy with somebody.
Yes, sir.
And God is the same way. Why? He is zealous of who you are. He wants you to know that he can be whatever his word said he is. He's big enough. He's bad enough. He's bold enough. He's got enough power to back every bit of it up. He's not lacking in anything. But he doesn't have to convince himself. He's trying to convince you. Now, the problem is, it's the world has put all these things in our minds. So how do we overcome that? Because it affects our faith. I submit to you the best way, one way of overcoming that is to spend time in private worship.
Amen.
We've got to know the Father on an intimate basis. We got to get to the point where he's no longer God, but he's now my Father.
Amen.
It's intimate. Amen. The second level of faith is that you diligently seek him. And that he is a rewarder of those that seek him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
He will reward you. God is our rewarder when we diligently seek him out. Now, will I be diligent if I get up one morning and pray in the spirit and don't pray again for 4 or 5 days? Am I being diligent? Am I being diligent when I worship God one morning but don't worship him again for another year or two? Am I really being diligent? Am I being diligent when I come to church and I begin to, oh, how I love you. And I'm thinking my mind is on, I hate that guy because he sat in my seat. Are you diligently seeking him? No. You're diligently seeking your seat.
Amen.
You're not seeking him.
Amen.
This is why our faith fails to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm fussing at, I'm preaching at me as much as I'm preaching at you tonight. We've got to get on top of these things. We got to eradicate these things out of our life.
Yes.
See, it's not my job to look at you and go, I know why your faith ain't working. No, I need to go stand in my own mirror, in my own home, and with God as my father and go, yeah, okay,
yes.
That's my problem.
That's it.
And I need to analyze myself.
Amen.
I'm not here to analyze you.
Go ahead now.
But now if you feel sensitive to that, then that's what they call your carnality.
Mm.
And you need to separate yourself from it. That's the first thing God will do. He'll begin to tell you, it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It only matters what I say about you. Why? Because he is. Because I got to believe that he is. And when I believe that he is, I could care less what you think. Because you ain't God. You can't turn my world on and off. See, you can't destroy my soul. But he can. So why would I fear you? Now, I love you. But why would I fear you?
Amen.
All you can do is just threaten me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. So why would I fear you?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you got a little bit of money and you dress sharp and you drive a nice car, living in an exquisite neighborhood, I'm supposed to be afraid of that? I'm supposed to be intimidated by that? You got to be. My father got more stuff than you ever have.
Amen.
You want to compare stuff? Come to my house and see his stuff.
Amen.
I ain't talking about my location. I'm talking about his. Let's get together, get in a secret place, and let me show you his stuff. I promise you, you'll go, I ain't got nothing. I don't have nothing. He's got it all. So he's my father. And I'm more concerned about what he says and what anybody else says. But this kind of diligently seeking through private worship pleases him because it allows him to pour out his grace and abundant blessings on our lives, the very reason he sent Jesus to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you want to spend time worshiping him. Now, in these last few minutes, let's go quickly and talk about the process of faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, I want you to understand, because you're spending time worshiping God, you're strengthening, you're establishing yourself in faith. You'll be able to talk to sickness and disease, and it'll obey you.
Amen.
Some of the stuff that we've seen, well, I've talked to it before, and it didn't move. Think about your worst thing right now. The worst thing going on in your life right now. Has God exempted that from his things that he has taken care of or put on Jesus on the cross?
No, sir.
It's all been handled. So what does he have to do now? I didn't know she was back there. She knocked out sleep, huh? Check it out.
It's not your preaching.
Oh, okay. It's all right. Go over to Romans 10:17. The Bible says that in Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So as faith comes to us through the hearing of the word of God, it becomes the substance of which I am hoping for out of Hebrews 11:1. However, if my hope is not the hope that is in my soul has not been programmed by the word of God, it greatly affects my faith, and it cannot receive the substance of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. For the next few minutes, I want to talk about your hope, your earnest expectation, your hope. Because if your hope has not been created, it has not been erected in the word of God,
mm-hmm.
it will not receive the substance of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith can't form itself around worldly hope.
Mm-hmm.
It can only form itself around biblical hope.
Wow.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Let's go on here. Unfortunately, faith fails to work because most of our hope too often isn't programmed by the word, but instead it's been destroyed by the world, by religion, or by well-meaning friends and doctors who are just trying to console us. For example, if your doctor has diagnosed that you will die, the hope in your soul will be healed, the hope in your soul to be healed must be constructed by the word that declares that Jesus has borne all of your sicknesses in his body on the cross.
Amen.
That is the only kind of hope that faith can put substance to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only kind. On the other hand, if you choose to believe what the doctor and friends or religion says, your hope will remain incapable of receiving the substance of faith. And this is where a lot of people's challenges are. Their faith is based upon what other people are saying. Your faith has to be based, your hope has to be based on what the Word of God has said. So the thing is, I'm not going to leave you high and dry here. I'm going to instruct you how to do that. We don't just tell you what you need to do. We tell you how to do it.
Amen.
So to diligently seek him, the first thing I must do is to diligently seek him to know the will of God. Now for this, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. And you ought to know where I'm landing this 747 right about now. You ought to know where I'm headed with this. Why are you looking at me like that? Ephesians 5:17. You all know where I'm going to land this thing tonight. The Bible says in 5:17, it says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is."
Mm-hmm.
Before I can have real Bible hope and faith, I have to first know what God has said about my particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's sickness, if it's lack, if it's anger, if it's whatever it is, there's not a problem that you have that God hadn't already covered in the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, I don't know where it is. Listen, that little thing you spend most of your time on called a computer, get on Google and Google it. It'll show you in the Bible where it's at.
Amen.
Or give you enough hints. Now, the thing is this. I pray one day you'll get strong enough and you'll be able to ask God, where do I go? What is my problem? He'll begin to tell you where it is in the Word, okay? But my point is this. Don't be unwise what the will of the Lord is. You've got to understand what is the will of God. You got to find out what it is. You can't be unwise. You have to establish yourself in the wisdom that God has already provided for us. Before I can approach God with the faith that pleases him, I first must know what he has already said about it.
Amen.
In other words, I'm going to go way back.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a single man and everybody was trying to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I've heard some people did. God, I'm praying that man will divorce his wife so I can marry him. I'm just telling you now. Just telling you. And I'm talking about people that were supposed to be around for a while. What was that person's problem? They did not understand what the will of the Lord was. You don't understand God's will. So how can you say you're in faith? You can't say you're in faith. That is not faith. You don't have any hope. You got the wrong kind of hope.
Amen.
So the thing is this, we have to establish ourselves on what God has already said for me and what God has already provided for me. You have to establish yourself in the wisdom that he has already provided. Now I can approach God with the faith that pleases him, knowing that who he is and what he has said. And as I continue to diligently seek him, next, Ephesians instructs me to do something else. And that's in verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But now how do I stay filled with the Spirit? The next verse 19 tells you. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and making melodies, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord. What is that? That's private worship. If you want to establish yourself in the will of God, begin to find out what God has said about it and begin to worship God for what he's already said.
Amen.
Every morning I wake up, I say this. I thank God for the day that he poured all of my sin, sicknesses, and diseases out on Jesus at the cross. I thank you for the day that Jesus became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I thank you for the day that no condemning sentences could no longer be carried out against me. I thank you for the day for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. You see what I'm saying? That's my worship time. That's my worship time. And I may just go around and around and around. You know what I'm doing? I'm establishing myself in the will of God. I'm establishing my hope. I'm establishing myself in God's faith.
Amen.
You see how simple it is? You see why you need to do private worship? You see what you've been missing out on because you won't do private worship? You see, the devil knows these things. He knows if you'll ever spend time worshiping God like that, he knows your faith will come to a point to where he will have to pack up his stuff and leave. Don't come and tell me, Pastor, I don't know why all this stuff has happened to me. I'm going to look at you and go, I know why it's happened to you, because you choose to sleep in the morning instead of getting up and engaging in private worship. Or in the evening, or whatever time you should be doing it. I know why you don't have any fight in you. It's because you're not doing what you should be doing.
Amen.
You're allowing the devil to talk you out of your victory every morning.
Amen.
Or every afternoon, or whenever you should be spending time with God.
Amen.
You are not going to walk in the promises of God, brothers and sisters, unless you learn to spend time with God.
Amen.
Now, spending time with God isn't having a Christian ringtone, ain't having a Christian screensaver, ain't having the biggest Bible, ain't going to a church. Fellowship with God is exactly that. Fellowship. I give you praise. I give you glory. I worship you. I magnify you. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul. I give you what no rock will ever give you, my praise. That's what I do. And I spend time doing that. And I fell in love with it. I love to worship God. I'll get in my truck and I'll start worshiping God. Now, the thing is, I try to, when I worship God, is to all of myself into every statement of praise and every statement of adoration.
Amen.
I pour myself into that. And I try to focus on him when I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, here's what I've learned. He knows what you're fighting with. If your mind continues to wander, just keep on praising him.
Amen.
Your mind will end up there eventually.
Amen.
It'll circle around and go, oh, we're worshiping him now. And it'll just begin to lie down.
Amen.
But don't stop.
Praise the Lord.
When you find your mind wandering down the street on that good-looking guy you saw in church or that good-looking gal you saw in church, just go back and get it and go, stop that. Come here.
Uh-huh.
We're going to worship the King.
Amen.
And start worshiping him again. Now, I'll tell you this. The more you go get your mind and bring it back, the more your mind will begin to realize you're serious.
Amen.
See, you've done things in the past, and your mind went, ah, he ain't serious. This is going to last for about a couple of days, and he'll stop. So it knows that. It's got that kind of memory. But once you train it, it'll begin to go, oh, so this is the new order of the day.
Amen.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to walk in. Oh. But here, I'll tell you what. I'm telling you, God's presence will begin to come all over you. You won't have to wonder what some fast-talking preacher on television is talking about, him being in the presence of God. You will experience it for yourself. You'll experience it for yourself. Every person I know in the body of Christ wants to spend time in God's presence, and most of them can't. They can't. And they get mad at those that can. Well, listen, before you spend time with God, what did we spend time teaching you for many, many months? The Holy Ghost. Why? You just can't have God's love. You just can't have God's favor. You got to have a revelator. Because if you all you get is God's love and you spend time with him, you know what you'll say one day? God, how come you don't love the devil? Why don't you? Why are you going to destroy him? Because why? You don't have a revelator to reveal to you God's plans and purposes in his life, in your life. You got to have a revelator. You got to have the Holy Ghost. And so we spent time in praying in tongues. We spent time in message by assimilation. We want to spend time in private worship. Then we're going to circle over there and we're going to get a message by assimilation and we're going to do some other things. But we want you to be balanced in these things. Why? Because you have to be well-rounded in all of these disciplines. Again, there are people that all they do is fast. Fast. But they don't, do you give them the word of God? And they start trying to tell you what it says and they ain't got a clue. And me, when you start preaching, immediately I know you don't know what you're talking about. You ain't got a clue. It's not because I think I'm so smart. I got somebody on the inside of me goes, untrue. Untrue, and sit there and listen to this for the next half hour. You go, hey, I gotta go. I'll excuse myself. And then what I'll come back and I'll listen to somebody that I'm going, that's not true. And I'll come back and listen to them going, wow, listen to that revelation. Where did they get that? Well, everybody will come up on something that's accurate every now and then. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You got to be careful with the little bit of deception. But if you have a revelator, if you have someone on the inside of you that's always telling you that's not right, then you'll never be caught out in some desert drinking poison because some man claimed he was Jesus. I'm talking about Jim Jones. How many of you know, remember him? Okay. And those people got, did you realize those people had the Bible in their hands? Do you realize they were taught about Jesus? But that man began to tell them, listen, I got a greater revelation than this. There is no greater revelation than this. When someone tells you, I've got a greater revelation than the Word of God, you need to go, excuse me, I have got to get gone. This is where you and I part company. And I wouldn't try to be all fancy-dancy and not try to hurt their feelings.
Amen.
See, as far as I'm concerned, my walk is precious to me.
Amen.
It's where I've gotten peace over the last 16, 17 years. I'm not going back into the turmoil that you're in.
Amen.
I don't want that.
There you go.
I want to know where I'm headed. I want to know that my faith works.
Amen.
Not, I hope it works, because I've been there. I've been there. God, please, God. Oh, please, God. Do you really think that God was convinced that I knew who he was? He's not convinced of that. Now, when you're young in your faith, he understands that. He's okay with that. But you've been walking with him for 2 and 3 years. He's not going to be changing diapers anymore. Amen? So this is why we're going to talk about faith for the next 2 weeks. Because coming 2018, I expect you to begin to start exercising your faith. And when you start saying, well, Pastor, I don't know why all this is going, use your faith.
Amen.
And I'm going to teach you just enough to where you'll be dangerous with the devil.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. You better be in your prayer closet doing some private worship. You should be in your closet praying in them other tongues. Okay? Because listen, when the devil realizes that you're trying to unloose the chain he has on you, he's not going to take it laying down. He's not going to go, oh, you want to go over there and walk in faith? Oh, I'm so, yeah, go ahead. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
He's going to circle back around and go, so you think you all that in a bag of Cheetos? I know I am.
Amen.
And you're gonna face up to him, and you're going to let him know you're not running anything in this camp any longer.
Amen.
See, what we want to do here at Dominion Training Center, we want to develop men and women that are disciples.
Amen.
And know how to rightly stand on the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? I don't want people that are going, I just don't understand all this stuff happening. It's happening because you are allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not being insulting. I'm just trying to get you to stand up.
Amen.
And go, you know what? I've got something to be doing.
Amen.
I'm going to spend time in praying in the Spirit. I'm going to put my time in worshiping God. I'm going to spend the apropos time in meditation by assimilation. I'm going to do my part and let God do the other part. Amen. Now, in closing, here's what I want to tell you. When you begin to spend time in private worship, there is a supernatural exchange that God will exchange your weaknesses for his strength. He will exchange your poverty for his abundance. He'll exchange what you lack for what he has. Now, how can I prove this? Well, in this verse I can, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And he said, for three times I prayed to ask Jesus to get this monkey off my back. That's not what he said, but I'm paraphrasing. You get the point. And Jesus said this, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Wow.
There's the exchange.
There you go.
There's the exchange.
Wow.
There's the exchange.
Wow.
He said this. He says, therefore will I glory in my tribulations.
Wow.
For when I'm weak, I'm strong. Now listen to what else he said. Therefore will I glory in my tribulations, in my infirmities, actually, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen. Wow, that's good.
Now if you go over to Romans chapter 5, it says something similar.
Mm-hmm.
It says, let me go read this. I'll be quick. It's the same thing. It's the same exchange. Romans chapter 5, I think it's verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Isn't that what we're talking about? By faith into his grace. You have access by faith into the grace of God. Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope. Hope is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now watch this. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. This is not que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That ain't what this is. It says, but the key word there is we glory.
There you go.
There's a thing I have to engage in when the testing and the trial begins to come on. And my posture isn't, by his stripes, I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. That's not it, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the posture. Father, I give you praise that you bore my sin, my sicknesses, in your body on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I declare that by your stripes I am healed. That's glorying in your tribulations. Now watch what happens when you glory in your tribulations. Not que sera, sera. Watch what happens. Also knowing that tribulation works what?
Patience.
Tribulation is working something? So tribulation has been employed by what? My patience has been, my patience has employed tribulation. All of a sudden now, I'm not worried about this thing. Why? Because I'm patient. Now, I'm not que sera, sera. How am I being patient? I give you praise. I worship you. I glorify you. I'm patient in, hey, he's bringing it to pass. and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes me unashamed.
Amen.
Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And man, I like to, in my worship time, I like to read, I'm trying to find it real quick. I guess it's not here, but I thought this was the verse where it says, neither death nor height, principality or power shall separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
So in other words, when you begin to give God praise and glory and honor, nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
See, you can love people and they're just as mean and critical and harsh to you. But why? Because the love of God. Because I spent time in private worship. I'm not moved by what you're agitated about or what you're angry about. Why? Because I'm moved because I know there's an exchange going on. I'm being transformed. And if you'll learn to spend time in private worship, it'll happen to everybody that will do that.
Amen.
That's what private worship will do. If you'll learn to hang in there and not give up, God will begin to transform your faith to where it works on things that you didn't see it working before.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Are there any questions tonight? I done prayed over the food. I've already prayed over the offering. And so it's now 8:05. I quit right on time. Glory to God. It's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah.